It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way every morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. Talking a lot of NFL draft. It's just 2 days away, Thursday night, 8 p.m. The first round begins from Radio City Music Hall. Of course, it'll all kick off with Andrew Luck going to the Colts, Robert Griffin III going to the Washington Redskins. The Giants pick all the way back at number 32, which should happen sometime between the 11 and 12 o'clock hours. Good morning, everybody. My name is John Schmelk, and we have a very special guest today to talk some NFL draft. That's from Sports Illustrated, Tony Pauline. Tony, how you doing?
I'm okay. Thanks for having me.
All right, Tony, let's talk about the Giants first. They select around number 32 in the first round of the NFL draft. Where do you think there's value in terms of position at that point in the draft for a team like the Giants?
For a team like the Giants, you probably look at the offensive tackle position. I don't know there'll be any tight ends available. Kobe Fleener of Stanford would be an enticing pick for them, but I'm hearing that the Houston Texans are likely to grab Fleener at the 26th pick, so he'll probably be off the board. So then you go to the offensive tackle position. I think it's an area of need. I think they may have Bobby Massey of Mississippi on the board, a guy that's got a terrific amount of upside and could be a competent starter at the next level in a year or two. He may be gone. If he's gone, you're looking at Jonathan Martin of Stanford, who protected Andrew Luck's blind side for the past 3 years. A lot of people think he can play right tackle at the next level. He's a developmental guy. He's a good athlete. Probably doesn't play up to his level of ability. If you get him hitting on all cylinders, which Coach Tom Coughlin seems to be able to do with all of his players, you know, you could have yourself a fine starting offensive tackle. Then, of course, there's Mike Adams, the much maligned Mike Adams recently. You know, a guy who's always had a lot of skill. He's had some off-the-field issues. You had the problem with Tattoo-Gate at Ohio State. You know, the recent revelations that on the test at the combine. Still, he's very good value. If you get between his ears and, you know, he shows he wants to play football, you know, you get that guy at the 32nd pick, you could have a starting tackle, and that's great value.
All right, I want to go over a couple of these guys specifically. Let's first start with Kobe Fleener, a guy you said might not be on the board in the Giants pick at 32. Everyone says he's a great pass-receiving tight end, but his numbers at Stanford were far from overwhelming. Why was there such a lack of production in college?
Well, because he had such a terrific quarterback who spread the ball around to all his targets. I mean, Andrew Luck didn't just, you know, focus in on one guy. I mean, he was the guy that spread the ball around. Fleener also did have some injury issues as a senior, an ankle injury, which really knocked him out of the combine. So that was something else that kept him on the shelf. He's had injury issues in the past. He's a developing athlete. So I think you look at the fact that Luck spread the ball around, plus his injury issues kind of suppressed his production numbers.
All right, fair enough. Now, another guy I've seen a lot of people having jumping up maybe into that first round is the safety out of Notre Dame, Harrison Smith. What have you seen from him looking at some of his stuff on tape?
You know, I'm not a big Harrison Smith fan, to be honest with you. I mean, he looks the part. He's a big physical safety. He's strong between the numbers, but if you're looking for a center fielder, if you're looking for a guy that can go sideline to sideline and get outside the numbers, Harrison Smith struggles. The fact is this, though. They look at his size, they look at his strength, and they look at the Gronkowskis and the Jimmy Grahams of the world, and they need a safety that's going to give some sort of fight and some sort of opportunity to defend those guys, and they plug Harrison Smith in there. He's not a traditional free safety that goes sideline. Why I kind of knock him down a peg, but, you know, this is the day and age of the NFL. You've got to be able to defend those 6'4", 6'5", tight ends that are able to get 20, 25 yards down the field, and teams feel Harrison Smith can do that.
All right, I want to move to the offensive line. Now, you mentioned Mike Adams. He has been sliding on people's draft boards. Do you project him as a left tackle or a right tackle in the NFL?
I think my thought process is you always keep the guy at left tackle until he proves he can't play left tackle, and then you switch him over to the right side. Jake Long, perfect example. People right. said he was a right tackle coming into the league. I said, no, let him play left tackle and proves he can't. You got to switch him over. I think Adams is a left tackle, but I think he's got the body type that can develop into a right tackle. So where the Giants are selecting at the end of round one, it's not a problem to draft a guy that potentially could be a left tackle and slide him over to the right side if that's their plan of action.
Now I want to move down to the Giants pick in the second round, one position where they certainly have some need as a running back. They lost Brandon Jacobs. They're trying to find that complementary running back to Ahmad Bradshaw, and there's going to be a decent amount of guys to choose from. Where could you see the Giants possibly going in terms of a running back at the end of round two?
If you're looking for a guy that's going to kind of replace Brandon Jacobs, you're going to want a bigger guy. You know, you're going to want a bigger ball carrier. Two guys, there may be reaches at the end of round two, but they're going to go in the third round. Bernard Pierce of Temple, 6'1", 220 pounds, really was a workhorse back at Temple, a guy that grinds it out on the inside, intelligent ball player. I think really shocked a lot of people when he ran 4.43
wow.
at his pro day. People did not know he had that speed. He doesn't show that speed on film, but he's got terrific instincts. He's got great running vision, really a good, complete ball carrier. The other kid would be Vic Ballard of Mississippi State. Again, if they're looking for a bigger ball carrier, 5'10.5", 218 pounds, ran a 4.58 at the combine, really a tough inside runner, does not back down to a challenge. They was willing to take on the defenders, drives through tackles. If Robert Turbin of Utah State is there, and he could slide, Turbin, who had a monster year at Utah State last year, 5'10.5", 222 pounds, ran a 4.43, plays to that size, I think that would also be an enticing or an intriguing choice consideration for the Giants.
Where do you see Doug Martin going off the board, another traditional between-the-tackles type of runner?
I think he's going to go early round two. I think after Trent Richardson, Doug Martin is the most complete back in this year's draft. He's a guy that's a terrific runner on the inside. He can turn the corner. He's a terrific pass catcher out of the backfield. And, oh, yeah, like Brandon Jacobs, he's a tremendous pass protector, a guy that just picks up his blocking assignments in the backfield, even down the field. And Doug Martin can also help out as a return specialist. When you add that all together, I think you're looking at a top 45 choice.
All right, I want to move away from the Giants here, talk a little of the other two NFC East teams. We already know the Redskins are going to go Robert Griffin III. Let's talk about the Cowboys first. Everyone seems to have Mark Barron pegged for them in the middle of that first round. Is that what you suspect they're going to do as well?
Yeah, I had reported that a couple of weeks ago, that they were looking at Barron. I mean, it makes sense. They need safeties. Barron right now, in my mind, is undervalued. He's listed as high as 6 of some teams' draft boards.
Wow.
I think he's been unfortunately pigeonholed as a traditional strong safety. I think he can play center field, go sideline to sideline. He may not be there. If he's not there, I'm hearing it could be either Dave DeCastro for the Dallas Cowboys, who need an offensive guard despite the fact they took Tyron Smith last year, or even Don Terry Poe, who a lot of teams think could be the next Halati Nada. You put him in that Rob Ryan system, you move him around, another good player on the defensive line for Dallas.
Do you see Poe going ahead of Brockers or after Brockers on the board?
I think he's going to go ahead of Brockers. I think he's more versatile than Brockers. I think he's a bit more developed than Brockers. I think he's a better athlete. He's got better movement skills than Brockers. Poe's the kind of guy that you can use outside the box. He can make plays down the sideline. He can get to the ball carrier. Brockers is more a guy that occupies blocks as opposed to, you know, getting behind the line of scrimmage or chasing the action laterally.
Gotcha. I imagine Poe, Brockers, and even Fletcher Cox, if he happens to drop that far, would be targets for the Eagles at number 15.
Yeah, but Fletcher Cox won't drop that far.
Right.
Fletcher Cox could go top 10. I think the Eagles could get Fletcher Cox by way of a trade, trading up into the top 10 with the Jacksonville Jaguars, because that's a player that I know that they're really high on, would be a perfect fit for their system, a guy that, you know, you could use as a nine technique, guy that can line up in a four-man front, a three-man front, one of the most versatile defensive linemen in this year's draft, and a guy that people think could actually turn out to be the best defensive player from this year's draft. It's understandable. The only way the Eagles will get Cox is to move up, and I think that's a possibility. Otherwise, you're looking at Brockers. The 15th slot is sort of no man's land. You know, you take Brockers. After Brockers, you're looking at maybe Luke Kuechly or Dante Hightower, some middle linebackers to kind of strengthen that run defense that was so porous last year.
All right, Tannehill seems to be holding the key to the first 10, 12 picks of this draft. Is somebody going to trade up to get him, or will a team simply be able to get him where they're selecting in that first round?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to trade up to get him. In fact, I think the Miami Dolphins, from what I heard, hope he's not available when they select it at round eight. You know, Tannehill, he's got a lot of upside, but he's a guy that you roll the dice, and if you hit big. If you miss, you sit your franchise back 3 to 5 years. He's a guy that if you make the choice and you're wrong, gets general managers fired. I think Tannehill is really the result of what happened last year with Jake Locker being the eighth pick of the draft, with Christian Ponder being the 12th pick of the draft, with Cam Newton doing as well as he did, much better than expected after being the first pick of the draft. There's a huge amount of downside risk at Tannehill, but he plays the quarterback position, and he's got a lot of upside, which is pushing him up draft boards.
So basically, this is a guy that does not have as high of a traditional scouting grade as guys that are going to get picked way after him in the first round.
Absolutely. I mean, right now on my board, he's the 21st player selected, but he could go as early as 4.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I want to switch back to the Giants real quick before we say goodbye. We're joined by Tony Pauline from Sports Illustrated. All right, Tony, if the Giants come up at 32 and they, let's say, have Mike Adams is available, one of the pass rushers is available, say like a Nick Perry, maybe a Chandler Jones, something like that. And you know what? I'm even going to leave Fleener on the board for them at 32 as well. Where do you think the Giants go in terms of getting the best player? Because as you well know, when Jerry Reese makes his picks, he's talking about best talent available, not necessarily need.
Well, in that scenario, I think Nick Perry would be the highest-rated player. But I think the fact that, you know, and I think Jerry Reese is a terrific general manager. His record speaks for himself. But I think in that case, you know, let's give him a little leeway. I think they take Fleener, because Fleener is basically Kevin Boss multiplied by 10, or he offers that potential.
Right.
You know, that downfield threat at the tight end position. He's got to learn to block. I mean, if you take Fleener, you're going to have to understand the first year you're basically getting a two-down tight end. You know, on those third and short situations, you're not going to be able to put him on the field because he's not a good blocker yet. He's got that body type. But I think, you know, you add Fleener, you give Eli Manning another weapon. You know, the more weapons you give Eli Manning, the more potent you make him. I think he's far ahead of the offensive tackle in this scenario, Mike Adams. You know, Nick Perry he's a good pass rusher, but he's a bit one-dimensional. Fleener, you could say the same thing, but still you're giving Eli Manning another weapon, and you can't, that's always a good thing.
How do you break down some of those defensive ends slash outside linebackers that are going to be there at 32? It's really, how do you figure out which one of these guys will fit in as a 4-3 D end, which guy is going to fit better as a 3-4 outside linebacker that's going to rush the passer? Is that tough, or do you think GMs really have a good feel for which guys are going to fit in where?
It's a tough thing because, you know, all of a sudden when you're standing up over tackle, and a lot of these guys did stand up over tackle in college if you watch the film. I mean, Nick Perry did not singularly come out of a three-point stance. He was used as a stand-up pass rusher on occasion. Shane McClellan of Boise State, another guy who's moving up draft boards, again, was used as a stand-up pass rusher. With the juniors, it's a lot tougher because the fact is, you know, the responsibilities of a 3-4 outside linebacker in the NFL are a lot greater than, say, Nick Perry, who occasionally stood up over tackle at USC and was asked to rush up the field. You know, the gap assignments, the ability to pick up coverage assignments, the ability to make plays in reverse. It is difficult. It's even more difficult, say, with the juniors who didn't have the advantage of playing at the Senior Bowl, as opposed to, say, somebody like Shea McClellan. I keep mentioning his name from Boise State, who primarily lined up in a three-point stance at defensive end at Boise State, occasionally stood up over tackles, a rush linebacker, went to the Senior Bowl, played linebacker with the Minnesota Vikings coaching staff as a traditional 4-3 linebacker, was used on the strong side, used at Mike in the middle, and did a terrific job. So you know going in that Shea McClellan can handle those duties because he's already shown it really in the practice sort of situation at the Senior Bowl with NFL coaching. You don't know if Nick Perry, once he gets the pads on, and all of a sudden he's got to, you know, remain with a disciplined playbook, if he can do it. So it's kind of a gamble.
All right, Tony, finally, I'm putting you on the spot. Who do the Giants pick at 32 in the first round?
I'm going to say Bobby Massey of Mississippi, if he's there. Again, if he's there. It's a name that I've been hearing associated with the Giants for the past couple of months. It fills a tackle need. He's a guy that really can be a good player down the road. I think if he's there at 32 and Fleener's off the board, he's the best available player. So Tony Pauline says Bobby Massey for the Giants at 32.
Tony, great stuff. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks a lot, Tony. That Sports Illustrated writer Tony Pauline does a great job on the draft. Great insight there from him. Everybody, thanks for joining us for today's show. My name is John Schmelk. Of course, Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way every day from 10 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com. Next couple mornings, we'll talk more NFL draft as the Giants get ready to add some more players to their team to try to repeat in 2012. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning, folks.